I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Serious Issues. Remember us? It's a comic book podcast where every now and then two good friends hang out and talk about good comics. Those two friends are me, Andrew Levins, and her, Siobhan Coombs.
Hello. How are we all?
We haven't recorded together since February, so today we're going to find out every comic you've read in the last 4 months.
Oh, man, that would be so dull, and it would be a lot of me just going, you know what's still really good is Usagi Yojimbo. It's still really good.
I mean, I feel like everyone would love to hear about how good Usagi Yojimbo is.
It is really good at the moment. It's a lot of great. There's like three different Usagi Yojimbo series being published at the moment, I think. And they're all excellent.
Yeah, I need to get back on board. So I've got a bunch of Junji Ito books to talk about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a follow-up to last episode. I reviewed volume one of Mermaid Saga by Rumiko Takahashi. I've got volume two to talk about this
time. Yes, please.
And mostly I'm just going to tell you how dumb you are for not reading it.
That's totally fair.
And I have Pulp, a book that Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips published last year. I'm aware that they've published two graphic novels together since, but I've only just read Pulp, and I liked it a lot. So that's what I'm talking about today. Siobhan, what are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of local comics that I've really enjoyed recently. One called 2020, one called Still Alive. Both dealing in some pretty heavy subject matter. Then I'm going to talk about Guillaume March's new Image book, Carmen, which I'm weirdly obsessed with. And then a couple of new Tezuka books, which have been published recently. Tezuka.
Very cool. Yeah. Before we get into that, tell me, what big, dumb superhero comics are you reading? What are you still keeping up with? Any of them?
I'm reading... What am I... Like... So I'm trying to sort of keep up with X-Men just to keep my relationship alive. But the only one that I'm
it took me a minute there. I was like, your relationship with Professor X? With Jonathan Hickman? No, oh, no.
With Nate.
With the lovely Nate.
But the one that...
Is that all he wants to talk about?
It's the only comic he wants to talk about. And it's the only comic he reads. Every now and again, I'll trick him into reading something else. And he's like, you know what? That was really good. I'm like, I know. But The Way of X, which started recently, which is written by Cy Spurrier, and I forget who's on art, but I apologize. That's pretty cool, because it's like Nightcrawler trying to come up with almost like a religion for mutants. Less of like a, but oh, with fine. Less of a god figure and more of just like a morality, like rules for life and stuff like that. That's pretty interesting.
He's right, the Ten Commandments.
Pretty much, because as it is, mutants have like totally devalued death. And are just like, woohoo, who cares? Let's just, like, die and kill each other all the time. It's really crazy and fun. And Nightcrawler's like, this seems sinful. But I think it, like, brings up some interesting ideas. And it's pretty good fun. What else am I reading? I mean, there's like, so many Batman books at the moment. And every now and again, I dip into them. And they're all largely fine. Pretty much. Batman Black and White is excellent. And, like, Superman...
Was that a miniseries or is it ongoing, Black and White?
I don't actually know. It's up to issue 5. The last issue had, which, like, is totally worth getting just for this. It has a Choose Your Own Adventure by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
Damn,
it's so
awesome.
Good. It's a Riddler one. It's really funny. It's really silly. 10 out of 10 for that one. So
Choose Your Own Adventure comics are a passion of mine, so I'll have to pick
one. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a really good Ren and Stimpy comic one. There's a really good Squirrel Girl comic one. There was an okay Deadpool one. That like made you like create a die to play along with. It was too involved.
Yeah. But have you ever read Ryan North's Hamlet Choose Your Own Adventure? I really want to read that one day.
No, I should.
He's so good. But yeah, so Batman Black and White's really good, and so is like Superman Blue and Red, and I'm sure I'll enjoy Wonder Woman White and Gold when that comes out too.
So they're all getting anthologies.
Yeah, pretty much. All just little mini anthology things, which I think works really great for those characters, so they're pretty good fun. But
what about is Beast Boy getting a green khaki? That'd be good. That'd be a fun anthology.
Yeah, you could do something. You could do something fun with that. Absolutely.
Make it happen, DC.
They'd have to think creatively, though.
So let's get into the bigger reviews, the comics that we've been enjoying lately. I've spent the majority of the last few months reading all of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, man.
And so I'm up to volume 6 of that now, which is called Stone Ocean. And that is one where it's set in a prison. And the lead character is, for the first time, a girl.
Mm.
And the creator, Hirohiko Araki, is not fantastic at writing women, and he maintains that in Stone Ocean. it's funny and stupid and you know, just that classic bizarre JoJo stuff, but I had to have a break. So it was good spending the last week reading non-JoJo things where people don't suddenly reveal they have crazy superpowers and spend 4 chapters fighting.
Mm.
It's definitely something that I'm happy I'm reading. I think I binged too much of it too quickly, and I just needed a break.
Yeah, can you like broadly explain the basic concept of JoJo's? Because I tried to, when it first started being reprinted in English a couple of years ago, I was like, I have heard about this, I am going to read this. And I was like, I don't understand what this is at all.
Did you start at the beginning or did you just jump in at something?
I don't know. because I thought
you would
it was
really
the beginning.
Like the... You would really like the first series.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if anyone is curious but doesn't want to spend the money on the manga... Actually, it's on the Shonen Jump app, which is the cheapest way to read the first three and almost... Yeah, first three parts of JoJo's are on there. But you can watch it all... Like, watch the first two series on Netflix now. It's on Netflix in Australia.
Mm.
If anyone is interested in dipping a toe into the world of JoJo. But yeah, every volume of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure focuses on a different character whose name is JoJo. So there's like JoJo Star. And like, it's basically like different iterations of words with Joe in them. and they get nicknamed JoJo.
Right.
And it starts off with like a pretty like, they're fighting this evil presence. They fight with this thing called Hamon, which is like them summoning their magic power, you know, to make themselves stronger and be able to do cool moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the monster they fight in volume 1, he ends up like basically like cursing the Joestar family line, and so it skips forward a generation. We meet a new JoJo in volume 2. They're fighting the same dude. And then it gives another generation for volume 3. They're still fighting the same guy or a different iteration of him and like his many legions. And it's like that's like volume 3 is like when it gets really, really fun. It's like a road trip from Tokyo to Egypt. And in that series, they reveal this thing called stands where like you have like this, being that you can summon to fight for you, and everyone's stand has a different crazy power. And the JoJo introduced in volume 3 has like one of the most powerful stands in the universe. And so now it's just, yeah, like, it's basically people being like, we're going to reveal your stand. And then like, it's like, oh, but I already have, I froze time 5 minutes ago and stole your wallet.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, there are big, ridiculous fight scenes, but the stuff in between the fights is always so fun, where it's like gorgeous, effeminate men in like really, really intricate fashion trying to outsmart each other before fighting. And oh, it's great. And like, you know, thinking 10 moves ahead, 4D chess shit, you know?
Yes. That sounds good.
Yeah. It is. It's definitely worth getting through, but there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
If you want to read all of it. Maybe don't binge the entire thing. It'll turn you crazy.
Yeah.
So I was looking for some like shorter books this week to read for my distraction from JoJo week, and I turned to an old friend, or a friend, someone who I only got into last year, but boy oh boy did I get into him.
Yeah.
And that is the horror manga artist and writer Junji Ito. We've talked about almost all of his books. Siobhan was the trendsetter doing it way before I did.
I'm just very
many
cool.
years ago on the podcast. But what we've spoken about, like his adaptation of Frankenstein. We've talked about a few of his like short story books, some of the longer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredible writer, amazing artist, and just a great storyteller.
And a freaky weirdo. Clearly.
Yes. Writes very unsettling stories with like super creepy art.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
But they're also really funny sometimes too. So in the last couple of months, two of his books have been translated for the first time into English, and Viz published both of them. Viz do such a good job with the Junji Ito collection. Just like beautiful hardcovers with heaps of backup material. Mm-hmm. And it just really feels like a great collection.
Yeah.
And the translations are really well done too. So earlier this year, maybe even the end of last year, we got Remina, mm-hmm. Which is a sci-fi story. I actually talked about this on another podcast a couple of weeks ago called Comics Deserve Better, which you should check out. I'll put it in the show notes. Brian and Kerry had me on their podcast. Mm-hmm. And Siobhan, you were on a couple of weeks before me, I think.
Yep. Talking a bit about Tezuka again, and then a lot of short box comics as well, which was fun.
Unreal. Awesome. But yeah, I talked about Remina, which is Junji Ito's very amazingly silly sci-fi story in which a new planet, a scientist discovers a new planet and names it after his daughter, whose name is Remina. And the entire world is obsessed with his daughter because she was amazing enough to name a planet after. But then they realize that this planet that's been discovered, the planet Remina, is rapidly heading towards Earth and swallowing every planet and star it passes on its way. And so as Earth tries to escape its doom, they start getting desperate, and they link they basically link it all to the family of the scientist and his daughter. And so they decide that if they kill Remina, then the planet will be destroyed and they'll be saved. And so it is this mix of like end of the world apocalypse,
extreme hysteria.
Yeah. But then with like this, like, you know, escape from like this, you know, murderous rampage, like Remina basically just trying to escape everyone in the world trying to murder her.
Mm.
I loved it so much. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the Junji Ito draws a very, very terrifying planet with eyes and a big gross tongue.
Yep.
Eating other planets. It's so fun. It has a really good ending.
Yep. And also like a spoil, but really great sort of fun kind of meditation on like celebrity almost because she's turned into like untouchable idol and then is being sort of targeted by the people who loved her the most. You know, it's like sort of a good take on that kind of the danger of celebrity
theme. Yeah, totally.
Theme.
Yeah.
Poorly expressed, but you know what I mean. It's really great.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Highly recommend this one. I would even say it's a great starting point for Junji Ito, whereas the other book, which came out, I only got it just last week, is a collection of short stories called Love Sickness. But half the book is a collection of short stories that tells the one story, which is this, like, it's like a lot of his books are like expanding on like Japanese ghost stories and Japanese folklore tales, that kind of thing. Which is why Remina feels so different from a lot of his other work, because it is just a hard sci-fi, his take on hard sci-fi. But yeah, Love Sickness is about a small town in Japan where young people wait on the corners in alleyways, and the first person that passes them, they ask them to tell their fortune. And it's like a long-standing tradition for young people in this town to do it. And the protagonist of the story returns to this town. He hasn't been there since he was a child. And he hates the fortune-telling. And we learn that when he was a child, a love-torn woman who is pregnant with a married man's child, turns to this to our main character when he was like four for a fortune. And he was like, who cares? You know, no, no, you won't be with him. Who cares? Like, and writes her off, and then she ends up slashing her throat the next day.
And he sees it. Crossing. Well, he sees her in a massive pool of
blood.
Sees
her corpse. Yeah. And so he hates the fortune-telling but doesn't want to tell everyone why, because he realizes that that woman is actually the auntie of a girl he has a crush on at school.
Classic teen problems.
This escalates to insane lengths because they end up seeing... There's like this monstrous presence of this like tall and slim, beautiful, kind of creepy, white-eyed man with pierced ears. They call him like the boy in black.
Mm.
And if he ever shows up to give you a fortune, he always tells you like something that will, like, he basically tells you to kill yourself, basically. Mm. And it becomes this like crazy ghost story where like hundreds of teenagers are ghosts, and there's like the rules to this fortune telling, and our main character having to kind of accept what he's done in the past to try and fix the problem that it's escalated to. Have you finished the actual love sickness itself story?
No,
it's about
five or six chapters
of this book.
I think I've read like five chapters of it.
It's really, really good. I would recommend it to someone who is already a fan of Junji Ito.
It's a pretty intense, first
it's
story.
It's totally
though.
Intense. Yeah, but as a first time, definitely not.
But it does that like real Junji Ito thing of like the problems just ramp up to such an extreme level, and it's just this growing, building sense of unease until it's so over the top and so like unmanageable, this crazy problem.
Yep.
But it's like you've just slipped into like an alternate universe. Like, it starts off almost normal, and by the end there's like, you know, 200 ghost girls chasing a man down a foggy street. Like, it's just so crazy, but great. So good. Super spooky.
Very similar to what he did with Uzumaki.
Yeah.
It's just like such a, like, just, it just escalates to such an extreme degree where you genuinely have no idea what's going to happen next. That's why I love his book so much.
Yeah.
I really loved Love Sickness. But after you finish the Love Sickness book, there is we got five more short stories by Junji Ito in this collection. And two of them they're called the Strange Hikazuri Siblings, and like to go this like very grim and like sad lovesickness story to then go into this like wacky Adams Family-esque like his take on that kind of thing, where they trick a boy into thinking that the girl he loves is dead, and then like it's all this, and then there's another one is all about they have a seance.
Good.
Say it. then there's like three unlinked stories, which are amazing. My favorite of which was called The Rib Woman, and it is about a teenage girl who gets two of her ribs removed so she can have an hourglass figure, like the girl that she admires at her school that all the boys have a crush on. Small spoilers, but this culminates in there being a monster made up of all of the removed ribs from the teenagers in this town.
I love shit like that. It's so good. So horrible. Yeah. Why'd you think of that?
And she like...
Grim.
She plays a harp made of people's ribs.
Yeah.
And it's just
great.
It's fucking great. Unbelievable. The final story in this is a autobiographical tale that Junji Ito has told called Memories of Real Poop.
Nice.
And it's a story about him buying fake poo from a market and being embarrassed by it.
We've all been there.
And it's just...
It's a universal experience.
It's great. Like, he has that, you know, it's similar to, like, the Cat Diary stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
It's just he's such a fantastic storyteller, whether he's telling something truly horrifying or something completely silly, and oftentimes both at the same time. I love entering the Junji Ito zone.
Absolutely.
I realized I didn't finish the collection of books that he put out last year, collection of stories that came out last year called it's a long name. I'll never remember it, but I now know I need to have that to read.
Okay.
It's like Eye of the Something or
something. Oh, Venus in the Blind Spot?
Venus in the Blind Spot. That's
very good.
I need to finish that. And then he actually has another book coming out this year. Like, cause
he's that's so the thing, prolific. Like,
this collection... Well, Lovesickness was originally published in Japan in 2011.
Right.
So they just take a while to get out here, I guess. But yeah, we have a book called Censor being published by Viz later this year in August. It looks like, yeah, it's a one story, not a collection of short stories.
Cool.
So very excited to read that. Censor coming out later this year. Definitely recommend picking up all of the Junji Ito books. There hasn't been one that I haven't enjoyed.
Yeah.
I eagerly await as many more of them as I could possibly read.
Absolutely. Seconded.
Siobhan, tell me about some local comics.
Sure. Thing. No worries, man. So the first one I wanted to talk about is published by our good buddies at Blueprint Comics, Chris Neal, who we had on the podcast ages ago.
Friend
of the show. And this is a book called 2020, which is created by Annie Huang, who is a really great Sydney-based multimedia artist and comic book creator. And this is basically about 2020, baby, the worst year of all time. And it's kind of about...
Oh, right.
It's an autobiographical sort of look at her experience during that time in the middle of the bushfires when we were all sort of starting to get an understanding of what COVID was going to be and how that reflected her experience of being forced to move back to Australia without her mother when SARS hit when she was a kid. So it's very like dealing with trauma that you haven't maybe thought about in a decade or so, kind of coming to terms with those feelings and figuring out how to continue on when something is happening that is so sort of traumatic for you. And I think like it's a sort of Annie's done comics for like a Steady Diet and Meet Me in the Pit before, but this is her first kind of solo long form graphic novel, and I think it's a really impressive debut. Like, I love Annie's style, but she's also really come a long way as a storyteller in this volume, and I think it's a really like excellent first graphic novel. And a great...
Yeah, how cool that he's now publishing, like, yeah, long-form stories. Yeah. That's great.
And, like, all of the Blueprint comic stuff is really beautifully printed and presented, and I think this is, like, another great one. And I think they've done a really good job. So you can definitely still get it at the Blueprint Comics web store. And I'm hopefully going to have it in stock at King's as well soon. But it's really good, and I recommend it a lot.
Fantastic.
And then the other local comic that I wanted to talk about, I went to the launch of it, Read to Me, which is like a local comics event that happens every so often for sort of local creators to share their work. And that is, it's a graphic novel called Still Alive by Safdar Ahmed, who spent about 6 years going back and forth to Villawood Detention Centre, which for like non-Australians is a detention center for refugees.
And it's just constantly, we get worse and worse news.
Yeah. It's a very grim place. But Safdar went there for, like I said, about 6 years, and he ran art workshops for the people there. And this is kind of experiences and his sort of take on everything. And it's really like Safdar's an amazing artist, really great illustrator. Like, he draws the coolest, best skulls of all time, but also gives a lot of character to every face, and real depth and real understanding and real sort of deftness and lightness of touch. It's a very, very moving, hard to read book, especially for like Australians, because we are all complicit in this terrible thing that continues to happen. But it's an incredibly important story, and I really think that people should pick it up and have a look. It's published by 12 Panels Press, which is, I think, run by Bernard Kaleo, a sort of Australian cartoonist. I think this is like maybe their first book that they've put out. But again, it's a really nicely printed book, really beautifully presented, and a really important story. So I do really recommend it.
Yeah, that's great.
It was very moving at the launch. Like, someone who is sort of featured in the book who was in the detention center came and read a chapter about his life, and it was a very, very, a very moving experience. And
yeah,
I recommend
it. So that's called Still Alive. Hopefully you can be able to get it outside of Australia.
Yeah.
I assume you will be able to.
I reckon it's in enough bookshops now that I hope you can get it internationally.
Sick. Awesome. So those are two very good recent Australian comics.
Yep.
I'm going to talk about two old friends who I love catching up with for a while. We were getting one of their comics every single month. But now they are only releasing graphic novels, I think. And of course, I'm talking about Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, them of Criminal fame, and many other excellent,
beloved
serious issues favorites.
Kill or Be Killed.
What was the Hollywood one? That was really good.
The Fade Out.
That was excellent. But yeah, they started putting out graphic novels. And last year they released what was kind of put forward as a cowboy story, a Western. And they were hyping it up. It's okay. I'm finally writing a cowboy story, said Ed Brubaker. And then shortly after was like, okay, I wrote my version of a cowboy story.
So a crime story set in like LA. In, like, the show business, almost.
Yeah, in the 20s or 30s, I think it is. The 30s, just as Nazism is starting to rise. So it's set in New York City, February 1939. But our main character is an old man who, when he was young, was a cowboy. So there are parts of genuine Western drama in pulp when he remembers his old life. But the bulk of this story is him as an old man coming to terms with his failing body. He has multiple heart attacks throughout this book. And an old figure who should be his enemy returns to his life and basically gets him involved for what could be his last crime caper. Go back to your old ways and secure that bag, because all he's thinking about is providing for his lover. Because he's realized that, like, you know, living week to week, because he's actually working as a comic book writer. He writes Western comics.
And pulp stories and stuff.
Yeah, but he gets fuck all money for it, and it looks like it's going to be increasingly less and less as younger people. Basically, his characters have been stolen by the shitheads at the DC equivalent in this story. And this ties into a lot of what Ed Brubaker has been talking about recently. I don't know if you heard or read. He was on Kevin Smith's podcast, Fat Man on Batman. I listened to my first episode of that in about 3 years because Ed Brubaker was on it. When Falcon and the Winter Soldier started airing, they had Ed Brubaker on because Ed Brubaker was the one who wrote, basically created the character of the Winter Soldier. He brought Bucky Barnes back, and him and Steve Epting?
Yes.
Yeah, Steve Epting. They were on Captain America at the time. And so, yeah, they created the Winter Soldier. And they were like, oh, so what do you think of the show? And he said, look, I love how popular Bucky is. I think it's amazing. I love the fans. I love Sebastian Stan. And everyone's been pretty good to me, but I'm not watching it because it just makes me feel so gross, because we've gotten next to nothing for creating the character that's now making millions upon millions of dollars in media and merchandise.
Yeah, and he said he got paid more for the cameo at the beginning of Captain America 2 that he's in than he's ever made from Marvel. Outrageous.
It doesn't even say a line because his Russian accent was that bad.
I mean,
they cut it. But he gets more from the Screen Actors Guild for a cameo in a movie than he did for creating the character in the movie.
It's the worst.
It's so bad. And I think it's really important to share those stories so people are aware of it, because we all love, you know, everyone except Siobhan loves those movies. I don't know. It makes you feel so gross that, like, you know, and Ed Brubaker, he's considerably younger than most of the guys who created these iconic Marvel characters. He's, you know, the rare instance of I think he mentions there, like, Bucky was like the most popular character since Deadpool.
Yeah.
When he was created, like, sorry, Winter Soldier. He's basically like, he had a near death experience a couple years ago. He almost drowned, and he was realizing that, like, shit, he's going to leave his wife with nothing. So this Pulp is kind of him exploring similar themes. And I think this was written in, about, like, you know, the realization that comics is no good, and you're not gonna, even though you created these characters and spent so much working on them, it means nothing for the people, that your loved ones, when you die, there's, you know, they can't live off your credibility as a writer. You need to provide. And so, yeah, those themes are explored in this. It's a great book.
It's so good. And, like, Sean Phillips is, he can draw the heck out of a horse.
Yes, absolutely. His son, Jacob Phillips, is on the colors in this. And it's great. The way, when he does the flashback scenes, it's very, the colors are very simplified. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is an interesting direction for the book, because it opens with a cowboy scene. And then when we get to, like, the present day, the 30s of the protagonist, it switches back to the kind of very familiar, like, criminal color palette. It works so well.
Yeah.
What a great book.
Yeah.
It's relatively short. It ties into, like, yeah, like, Nazism in the 30s in a really, really creative way. And I thought the ending was spectacular. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's a Brubaker and Phillips book. It's going to end in absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
But this was a very fulfilling read. I loved it.
Yeah, I got to say, I really enjoy their, like, how their sort of collaborative relationship has developed. And what they're doing now is so great. Like, for me, as much as I love, like, the single issue format, and I really enjoy the sort of extra thought and the work that Brubaker puts into all the single issues of, like, Criminal and stuff like that, I love, like, Reckless, which is the series that they're putting out now, which they sort of decided when COVID sort of hit, and they were like, well, monthly comics seems like it's maybe not going to happen. We're going to do 3 graphic novels set in the same universe instead. So it's all about, like, these, it's sort of like a pure pulp kind of book about, like, a sort of private detective kind of character who lives in an abandoned cinema and just loves watching old Hollywood stuff. Like, it's so everything that I love. And that's the great. First 2 volumes of that have come out, and they've both been, like, totally exceptional.
See, that's a Reckless and Friend of the Devil.
Yep.
A Reckless book.
Yep.
I need to get these ASAP. I want to, so I can pick up the 3rd one and read it along with everyone else. Like, yeah, I was here from the start.
But it's so, like, I don't think that the Reckless books are necessarily doing anything new or different for them, but it's just, like, perfect. I love the format. Yeah.
No, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It actually looks less like a criminal book and more like Velvet, the Ed Brubaker book that he did with Steve Efting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit
like very, very
maybe
pulpy.
Sexier and less, like, grimy. Ooh. Then, like, it's still got its grimy moments, but I think that the criminal books are really, like, gritty. Gritty and tragic. And there's definitely grit and tragedy and Reckless as well, but still a bit fun or something.
Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. Well, I look forward to picking those up. I'm glad that you enjoy them.
And I hope that he gets paid more from his books that he puts out with Image, for crying out loud.
I think, yeah, the setup they have with that is, like Image is just the publisher, I guess. Like, I think it's, like, split 3 ways between, I hope so, Phillips, Brubaker, and Image.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of image, shall I talk about an image book that I really like at the moment?
Yeah, so you're, this is a bona fide single issue.
Whoa.
How many issues have this come out so
far? Three. So it's like properly new. You can probably still find all three issues of this at your local comic book store, if you're so inclined. And it's by...
Awesome.
Guillem. I kind of always assume it's Guillem, but I'm not 100% sure. I should probably look these things up. Guillem March, who we know from like Gotham City Sirens. I would say that's what he's probably most notable for. And he's done a lot of variant covers for DC over the years. I have never been that much of a fan of his work, but the first issue had a Milo Manara variant and I was like, what's this? And so I picked it up and I flicked through it and I was so totally blown away by the art. So this is called Carmen with a K, K-A-R-M-E-N. And it is about a character who, and like, this is very, I would say this is very European in a bunch of ways. So, like, a couple of kind of content warnings. This deals with a lot of suicide. And maybe, I'm interested to see where it goes with it. Because there are some things that you're like, well, maybe that wasn't too sensitively handled. And there's a couple of elements which are maybe... mean that this book isn't for everyone, but I do recommend at least giving it a go because I think it's really interesting and really beautiful. Basically, it's about a character who in the first issue, she finds out or thinks that her boyfriend is cheating on her with her best friend. So she slits her wrists in the bath and then wakes up and there's this weird girl with pink hair in like a skeleton suit that appears to just be her body hanging out with her. And it's sort of like now she is some kind of ghost figure on Earth trying to figure it out. But because she killed herself in the bath, she's nude all the time. She's naked all the time, which feels to me like the most European thing of all time. Super naked. But it's not like, it's not like a Manara comic. It's not constantly sexualized. It's not constantly like super gross feeling or seeming, and he's like, his anatomy is really beautiful, like they're really beautifully well done. And there's this sequence in the second issue which is like the first half of the second issue is almost completely silent, and it's just this extended sequence of her flying through Paris. So it's just like this totally nude girl flying across Paris, and it's like unbelievably dreamlike and beautiful and really like transported me. So it's kind of dealing with like relationships and sex and death and responsibility and all these kinds of good things, but really beautifully drawn with a really lovely kind of dreamy color palette, and I love it.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. That's great. Awesome.
Yeah, I recommend it. A couple of people who I was like, I'm not sure about this, and I've recommended it to just about everyone, and everyone that I've recommended it to has really enjoyed it. So I recommend checking it out if they've got it at your local.
Fantastic. Well, I am going to talk again about Mermaid Saga by Rumiko Takahashi. It is a wonderful companion piece to Junji Ito books because it is like a horror romance based off like Japanese folk tales. Basically, in the world of Mermaid Saga, if you eat the flesh of a mermaid, one of two things happen. One, and this is very rare, your body adapts to the flesh of the mermaid and then you are immortal. And if your body rejects it, you turn into a hideous monster who is basically like sent out to sea to die. You're like a mindless one, essentially.
Hectic. Big risk.
This is a book where we have two people who have eaten mermaid flesh and found each other. And basically their tales of like survival and like it's adventures. It reminds me a lot of Saga Yojimbo in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
In that like you set up the premise of the characters in the first book, and then like every chapter after that is just like, you know, set in a different, like at one point the guy is like 500 years old, but sometimes it'll go back into his past when he's only 200 years old. And we meet all these people whose lives have been affected by the presence of mermaid flesh. It is so gorgeous and so like mournful in parts and beautiful in others, and just like it gets so dark and grim where like an immortal child will be like the most evil character you've met in the book so far, and is just capable of doing such despicable things. But Rumiko Takahashi just has such a beautiful way with her pen, and the artwork is so amazing. Fuck, man, you would love this shit.
I really have to read. I've never read any of their books, and I feel like it's a big gap in my sort of knowledge. But I'll get there.
Yeah,
eventually.
So Viz have published great big volumes of. There's two. It's like two volumes and done. And they're pretty well priced, like $25. I think you can probably find them for 30-ish in Australia. Volume one and volume two, and that's the end of Mermaid Saga.
Oh,
it
sick.
Ends so well.
Well, then that's great. That makes it much more likely that I'm going to read it, much more achievable. I'm going to get it in my library.
A lot of Takahashi's programs go for much longer than. A lot of her series go for much longer than this, but this is just maintains the same. Everything that works about the book works about it all the way through. And second volume has so many crazy stories in it. And at the heart, it's about like this blossoming kind of will they, won't they romance of the two main characters, who are kind of just like friends, but also kind of destined to be in love because there's no one else like them in the world. Everyone they meet that's like them is fucking evil. And they both come close to death so many times, like actual death, like their heads getting chopped off.
Nice.
It's incredible. There's one short story in this where like a man's daughter dies, and a witch doctor basically like recreates his daughter using a spell on her bones. But she uses like the liver of a mermaid, so she comes back to life. But she's like a cannibal and eats or hunt down animals and eat their livers, or tries to eat people's livers. But this sweet little girl who eats livers.
Gross.
It's just, it's great. There's that level of grossness. It's like the heartbreak when you realize what's happened. Really well-told stories. This is like, one of the best collections that I've read in the last couple of years. This is awesome.
Cool. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah. You would absolutely adore it. I can lend it to you if you want.
Yeah.
In fact, I might even have two copies of Volume 1, so I can give that to
you. Yes, please. Thank you.
If we ever see each other again.
One day. So speaking of great manga reprints, there have been a couple of new Tezuka reprints. Classic stories that I have wanted for many, many years but have never been able to find. And I'm pretty sure they've been available digitally for a while, but now they're in print.
Please let us know. Let us know who Osamu Tezuka is, for those who have forgotten.
He is the godfather of manga, baby. He is the creator of Astro Boy, Kimba the White Lion, Blackjack. Loads and loads of really hectic adult manga.
Jungle Emperor.
And so two books have been kickstarted. I think that pretty much Vertical. Were publishing a lot of his stuff in like really beautiful editions, but they seem to have paused, and now Platinum Manga seem to be kickstarting a lot of new printings of classic Tezuka works. And so one that came out recently, which I was so excited to see because I had read about this and have wanted to read it and see it for so long, is his adaptation of Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, which is so bizarre. It's like so weird. It's clearly in the introduction they talk about how this was a project that kind of no one else really wanted. It was just something that he thought would be really cool and just really wanted to do, and so just did it. It's not as like the art is very like for a Tezuka book quite simple. Like he doesn't sort of go in as hard on the backgrounds as he does in some of his other adult books. And it's quite weird. All these quite cute, almost chibi little figures dealing with like axe murder and like all the sort of deep angst and like stuff that comes about in Crime and Punishment. So it's, I don't know if it's like an entirely successful adaptation of the original text, but it is a lot of fun and it is very weird and it is like quite an unique thing on its own. So I do recommend checking it out, especially if you've read Crime and Punishment. It's very interesting to sort of make the comparison. If you haven't, it's going to give you a really hilarious idea of what that book is. But I definitely recommend checking it out. And then they all...
Where can we get these?
You should be able to get these. You can get these at King's Comics, or you could get them...
Okay, great.
I think most, like, bookstores, probably Kinokuniya would have it. You might need to sort of special order it or something, but I think it is kind of readily available at comic book stores. And it looks like they're planning to do a whole lot of other books, like Ludwig, which I have never read. Whoa, which seems to be about... Ludwig, whatever.
Yep.
You know who I mean. And something else called Brave Dan, which looks like it might be about a tiger. Great. I'll read them all.
Brave Tiger.
They're all excellent.
Named Dan.
The other book which they published is called Storm Fairy, which is sort of more like his kind of shoujo work. So it's kind of fairy tale romance-y short stories. The first story is about a fairy... It's about a princess who has her face swapped with a fairy when she's first born because her mum makes a deal with a witch, obviously, which means that the princess gets the fairy's face and is so ugly, which is obviously the worst thing that a woman could possibly be. But the fairy is, like, really cute and beautiful. And it's just about, like, it's just kind of a fun, romance-y princess story. And then there's a couple of other stories in here, like a dog detective one and another one which I haven't got to, but I've been reading these with my son and they're great. Super fun.
Fantastic.
Super awesome. Like, if you liked Tezuka's like Princess Knight, you'll get a lot out of this. Very enjoyable.
I just saw on a website called Japan Trend Shop, you can buy a series of manga volumes that fit in the palm of your hand. So it's called Mini Manga Tezuka Collection.
I have very small hands.
What's that say?
I have very small hands.
Yeah, no, these are tiny. These are tiny, but they are. There's 200 mini comic books for $1,200. Siobhan, is this what I'm doing tonight? Yeah.
Is this your new thing?
Will I somehow justify this?
I would love for you to just make a video of you justifying this to your wife and children. No, but you see.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as I hit stop on this one, I'll hit record on that one. They are really cool.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I have often thought that books are too big.
Oh, man. Give me a digest-sized comic and I am like,
this is
absolutely,
he's like digest size, except they're also like the size of a matchbox. Siobhan, I really want these. There's 200 of them.
I can't allow it.
Yeah, fair enough,
man. Speaking of comics, I was gonna say, you know what's really good at the moment in terms of comics that fit in your hand is on Instagram, Simon Hanselman, who does the Megan Mogg comics, is just like putting up panel by panel little strips from some of his older books, and they are great and so horrible and so weird.
It's great. It's like, well, because he started doing it during COVID, we covered it, but he wrote like a strip. Basically, he would put up a comic every day where you swipe through the 10 panels and that's your chapter.
They're still going in this fun.
Yes, and now he's doing that, but with some of his older works, which are collected. But yeah, it's a really cool way to do it. Very awesome.
Yeah, and Michael DeForge does a similar thing.
Not as awesome as 200 volumes of mini Tezuka. It's only $1,300 on eBay.
I mean, yeah, that's a bargain, man. You should absolutely get them.
So, yeah, I mean, just wait for the video, okay? You'll be convinced. You and everyone in my life will be convinced.
I can't wait.
So that is it for the episode, everybody.
Done.
I hope you enjoyed catching up with us, because I enjoyed catching up with Shinbone, that's for sure.
I sure enjoyed catching up with you too, man.
If you want to find us online, you can. Facebook.com/group/Serious Issues Podcast is our group. But I got to be honest, I fucking hate Facebook. And
yeah.
I know you would be scared of it, so maybe this is not going to appeal to you at all, but all my other podcasts have very active Discord communities.
Oh, okay.
If you listen to this podcast and you would be interested in me spending a little time and making a proper Discord community for comic book readers like ourselves, let me know.
Can someone explain to me Serious Issues what a Discord is?
So it's like it's like a chat group, basically.
Oh, okay.
A forum.
Oh, okay.
We could make like, you know, Marvel comics, DC comics, Image comics,
okay,
manga, where the cool kids hang out, and mini manga, where the very cool kids come out,
very cool, very tiny kids. Yeah, great.
If you are interested in that, let me know, because I'll start it, because I hate our Facebook group right now.
I just hate Facebook.
Because the only dude who posts in there doesn't even fucking listen to the podcast. And I feel like he has nothing else going on, so I don't want to just boot him because it annoys me. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a peek behind the curtain, everyone.
Nightmare.
But anyway, thanks for listening to this episode.
Yeah, thanks,
you
guys.
Can find us on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else. Siobhan is at Siobhan CBG, and I'm at Levdog, LevDawg. If you have any questions about the show, DM us there.
Yeah.
Me especially, that's totally fine. Any technical stuff, Discord stuff, let me have it. Can't wait to hear from you.
Yep.
Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you very soon, maybe.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.